لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم There's a word in the Arabic language which is called nisbat. Nisbat in the Arabic language means to have a relationship, to have a connection. And there is a principle in nisbat that when two things or two parties are joined, then the ruling of that thing which is higher, it gets transferred to that thing which is lower. So there are two things which are connected. One thing is higher in value and the other is lower in value. They don't meet in the middle, nor does the higher one descend to the lower one. But because of this nisbat, this connection, that which has a lower value is raised up to the one which has a higher value. A very simple example to understand this word is that if you take a tile, a marble tile that is outside the masjid, it's just a piece of marble tile, a ceramic tile, and may have a particular value. Then if you say the word masjid, now masjid has a very high value. If you say the word baytul khala, bathroom, bathroom has a very low value. Now when you take that tile and make its connection, its nisbat with the bathroom, then the tile is going to have that same lowly value as that of the bathroom. But the second you take that tile and you put that tile inside the masjid, it has a connection with the masjid. Now it's going to have the same value as that of the masjid. It's a brand new masjid, a brand new bathroom, and the exact same tile. This tile, you're willing to put your bare forehead on it, and that tile, you're not willing to put your bare foot on it. You go and wear a sandal. Why? Because of nisbat. Because that is a tile of the bathroom, and this is the tile of the masjid. So this is the incredible mercy and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to make us human beings. And by accepting Iman, we become Abdullah, the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of this connection with Allah, we're Abdullah, servants of Allah. Your value goes up in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it goes up so much in Allah Ta'ala's eyes that nothing less than a timeless eternity, Jannat, nothing less than an eternal life can pay for that value. Now eternity is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is that being who is so valuable that He lives forever. Me and you, human beings, we are a creation of Allah. Why should we live forever? But no, if a person has this nisbat with Allah, if a person has this nisbat of Iman, Taqwa, Ibadat, then your value in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's eyes is increased. it becomes eternal, it becomes infinitely more. You become priceless in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there is no finite price that Allah ta'ala can give for Iman. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with this limitless, priceless, eternal Jannah as a return for this Iman. So any person who has Iman, they have some basic nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some basic connection with Allah. And then there are a group of people who are so intimately connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are so true in their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are the truest ibad and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are the siddiqeen, the salihin, the muttaqeen, the muhsineen. These are those people who have joined themselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly. And these people are known as the friends of Allah, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So another way you can understand is that all of us, whenever a person has Iman, they have some love for Allah in their heart. But when a person moves closer, they get something which is called this shadid, intense love for Allah. So people, every person has some level of Iman, but there'll be different people with different intensities of Iman. Every person will have some love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but different people will have different intensities of that love. For example, there is water, there is room temperature water, there is lukewarm water, there is hot water, boiling water. They're all water. But the thermal energy in all these waters is different. Just like that, the thermal energy of the muhabbat of Allah and the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can ignite. It can heat up the Iman of a person's heart. Some people may have a basic muhabbat of Allah, and then some people may have more shadid muhabbat. And this path of tasawwuf and tazkiyah is all about increasing this muhabbat for Allah to move further and further, more and more towards becoming a true lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To become that individual who's ready to sacrifice everything and everything and anything to follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to follow the sunnah of the mahbub of Allah, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse of the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, that those have true Iman, they are those who are extreme in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person, that person who joins themselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly, they are the truest ibad of Allah, and they are the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is after this nisbat that a person has with Allah that everything in deen comes. The real thing, the real qubuliyat comes when a person has this truest connection and truest nisbat with Allah. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, he was not the smartest muhaddis to ever live. That's a mistake that some people make. The many other brilliant muhaddisina, but it was Imam Bukhari rahmatullah's taluk with Allah, his nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the special nisbat with Allah, that gave him that kubuliyah, that gave him that brilliance. And that is a brilliance which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you have this nisbat with Allah. It's not a brilliance that comes from within. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, he had this nisbat with Allah Ta'ala. Imam Shafi rahmatullah, he had this special nisbat with Allah Ta'ala. You read the lives of all the great fuqaha, the mufassireen, and you will see that their taqwa, their sunnah, their ibadah, you will see their التعلق in friendship, the relationship with Allah. You will see it. You will read their lives and you will think that you're reading the lives of an angel. That was the real attainment. And the same, you know, we have forgotten. The best of us, we only view them as muhaddisin or fuqaha or ulama. We have forgotten that their asal reality was that they were awliya of Allah. They were friends and the truest servants and ibads of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were that select group of people who had joined themselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely and truly. So the reason why we're speaking about this is because this is what the real goal of a believer should be. That should be your aim. We should aim high in our deen. And the reason is because when a young man or a young woman who only thinks that iman is my aim, generally we as human beings, we fall short of our goals. We fall short of our targets. We say that I'm going to gun for a B, we end up with a C. So if we just gun for a basic level of iman, we are living in a zamana of fitna. This is Qurb-e Qiyamah, where fitnas are going to just keep on increasing day by day. And if you're just aiming for a bare minimum basic level of iman, then there is a very high risk that we might lose this iman in the times that we are living in. We will end up with nifaq or hypocrisy or even kufr. So this is the infinite wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the goal, not as iman, but the goal is to attain this qurb, this nearness with Allah, this nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this khususi ta'alluq, this special relationship with Allah, which is called nisbat ma'allah. And this is something which a person should think about, person should make their goal, a person should make dua to Allah, and they should also make an effort to get this nisbat ma'allah, nisbat with Allah. A person should put in whatever effort they can put in, whatever is in their ability to try to get this nisbat with Allah. A person should try to have this fikr, this concern about their islah. They should do the zikr askar that the mashayikh prescribed them. And then they should inform their mashayikh about their halat so that their islah can be done. And because of this, then a person can attain this nisbat with Allah, nisbat ma'allah. When a person attains this special relationship with Allah, what that means is that now ghaflat goes away from that person's life. And they come in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them from committing sins. They get this protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani two things, they leave ghafla and they come under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala protects them against sinning. And this is only possible when a person's heart is munawwar with the ma'rifat of Allah. It's illuminated with that ma'rifat of Allah. That nafs-e ammara has been beaten into shape and now has become nafs-e mutma'inna. This is that state when we say this person has attained this nisbat with Allah. And when a person attains this nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person, his sohbat, his company will have an effect. Other people will come and sit in that person's company and they will feel an effect of that person. They will increase in their desire for akhirah and they will feel a lessening of these worries of the dunya. They will begin to feel a nafrat or a hatred for this world. And they will have a raghbat and a yearning and a longing for akhirah. These are asrat and effects of a person who has this taluk with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala graces him. That person will raise his hands to make dua, Allah will accept that person's dua. And another thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses such a person is that when a person attains this nisbat with Allah, then they get a very special blessing which is called Nuri Mu'minana. They get Firasati Mu'minana, which you can understand as a deep spiritual insight that they get because of their taluk with Allah. That they're able to see the reality of many things around them, which ordinary believers may not be able to see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with this spiritual insight about matters, about dunya, about deen, about things around them. That's why in Hadith al-Baraka we know the Prophet said that ittaqu firasat al-mu'min fa innahu yanzuru bi nurillah. That fear the firasat, this insight of a believer, of a true believer, for he sees with the nur, with the light from Allah. There is a nur in that person's heart, in that person's chest, and because of that nur they're able to see the reality. They see that. They see what other people may not be able to see. This is the Nuri Batin, which the Prophet ﷺ had in his heart. And this Nuri Batin, just like the Uloom of the Prophet ﷺ, were transferred from the Prophet ﷺ to the Ulama. And then those Ulama, through all the way up till our generation, we get prophetic knowledge by searching for that knowledge in the works of the ulama. In the same way, this nur that the Prophet ﷺ had in his heart, we can have to search for this nur by putting ourselves in the company of the awliya and the mashayikh and the ahlullah, the people of Allah. The ulama, they provide us with the ulum-e-nabawi, and the mashayikh of tazkiyah, they provide us with the Nur-e-Nabawi, with the Nur that was there in the Batin, in the Qalb, in the spiritual heart of the Prophet ﷺ. And when a person attains this Nur, this Nisbat with Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala graces them with Barakah. From the tips of their head to the soles of their feet, there is barakah in their life. When they see, their gaze becomes barakah. When they speak, their words become barakah. When they do an amal, their amal is full of barakah. When they make a decision, Allah puts barakah in that decision. Wherever they sit, that place attains barakah. Whichever city they pass by, that city attains barakah. This is all because of the nisbat they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of this nisbat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes their hafiz. Allah protects them. Always we should remember that Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are masoom. The prophets are sinless. They can never sin. But the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are mahfuz. They come under the protection of Allah. And this is because of the barakah of their nisbat. And what this means is that then they do not commit any sin out of their knowledge or out of their intention. They come in such a protection of Allah that they leave sin ilman wa iradatan. Yes, they may sin out of ignorance, or sometimes unintentionally, not deliberately, they forgot, or they made a mistake, or there was an error in judgment. And when they make such a mistake, immediately Allah gives them tawfiq to turn back to Allah. They are able to do ruju ilallah. They return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They make tawbah istighfar. And the nur of nisbat that they have in their heart, that is able to wipe away any effect of the sins that they do. They are mahfuz, they are protected, they are given protection by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves such people from the zillat, from the embarrassment and humiliation of sins, from the negative effects of sins. Just like when there's a father, if he sees that his son has been caught up in some bad friends, in the company of bad friends. So the father, when he sees that, he doesn't like that. He doesn't like that my child should remain in the company of those people. And will be making an effort that let me bring my son out from that company. Let me change the environment. Exactly in the same way, that person who has nisbat with Allah and they come under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them from the company of nafs and shaitan. Allah ta'ala protects such a person from being overwhelmed by nafs and shaitan. And even if that person is stuck with their nafs and with their shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows them to come out. Allah ta'ala does not make nafs and shaitan dominant over them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings that person out from the domination of nafs and shaitan. That person doesn't become a morsel in the hands of shaitan. But he is able to save himself from the deception of nafs and shaitan. Why? Because through his zikr, ibadat, ita'at, taqwa, he has made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. He has earned the radha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't wish to see him in that environment, in that situation. Allah does hifazat of such an individual. So one thing is that we should have this desire to attain such a nisbat with Allah. But then many of us, we may have that desire. And there are many people who would wish that I wish I could also attain such a nisbat with Allah Ta'ala. And I could also get all these blessings and barakat in my life. But to make a wish is one thing. And there are many people who make wishes. But very few are those people who actively make an effort to get this nisbat. Very few are those people who present their hearts, who make their hearts ready to be able to receive this nur from Allah, to be able to receive this nisbat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very few people make an effort to ready themselves, to ready their heart, who work on their heart, to polish their hearts, to be able to make it a receptacle, to be able to make it, to be able to give it that ability to do jazab of these anwarat, to draw and to soak these anwarat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People, very few people, whether we're speaking about Muslim countries, Western countries, normally what we see around us is that people have given in to the desires of their nafs. We look into their hearts. In their hearts, we don't see this muhabbat, this talab for Allah. We don't see that they have prepared their hearts to receive this nisbat from Allah. On the contrary, what we see normally, illa mashallah, normally what we see is that the hearts are full of love for dunya. In the hearts we have nafsani desires, shaitani desires, hewani desires. Someone has base desires, unlawful desires. And sometimes it's just khwaishat. We're just chasing the desires of our nafs. There is ghaflat inside and there is dunya inside. There isn't that love for Allah inside of our hearts. Normally that is our situation. Except for very few people who are working on this path to attain this nisbat. Majority of us are people who have given our hearts to dunya. We have given our hearts to our nafs. We have given our hearts to the desires of our nafs. We're just concerned about fulfilling what our nafs wants. Concerned about khwaishat. Concerned about the worries of this world. And unless and until we break all these idols from our heart, whether these are idols of made out of iron and stone, or these are idols which are rivals to Allah. So these are all rivals to Allah. Our wishes, they become a rival to the wish of Allah. Our desires, they become a rival to the desires of Allah. Our pleasures become the rival to the pleasures of Allah. It pleases me to wake up at 10 a.m. in the morning, but it pleases Allah Subhanahu that I should wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning. We ourselves, our nafs becomes a rival. This is also a type of a shirki khafi. It's not an idol made out of statue. It's not a statue made out of stone. It's a statue which is there within us, where we have erected these whims and desires and fancies and our wishes, and we have made them a rival, a competitor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not Tawheed. Tawheed is to say that I love Allah only. Tawheed is to say that I obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Not that I obey Allah and then I also obey my nafs. I also obey fashion, culture, media. Tawheed is that I follow the pleasures of Allah only. Not that I follow the pleasures of Allah, but sometimes I also give in to the pleasures of my own nafs. Tawheed is that I worship Allah only. Tawheed is not that I worship Allah, but sometimes when I want, I worship my nafs. I give in to the desires. I do things which my nafs wants me to do. This is shirki khafi. Until and unless we break the idols of this heart, we break all the rivals that are competing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside of our heart, a person cannot attain this nisbat. They cannot attain the noor of this nisbat. And today, this is one of the biggest tragedies of our time. That we look at our own hearts and we don't need to go and look at anyone else's heart. This is a mirror for our own self, that all of us, we should look inside of us and see what's inside of our heart. Is there this talab to get this noor from Allah? Are we making that effort to empty our heart of everything that is ghairullah? Or when we look inside, we see the muhabbat of dunya, we see muhabbat of our nafs, we see our own desires, we see our own wishes. And if we see dunya in our own nafs, then means that a person cannot attain this noor, noor in ispat. If dunya is inside of us, there is no way that we can get this noor from Allah Ta'ala. And for many of us, it's not just dunya is inside of us, our hearts are completely occupied with the dunya. It's the dunya has blocked our heart. Doesn't even allow anything to come into our heart. So we have to make this effort. And there are three things which our mashayikh have mentioned, that if you do, then it becomes easy for a person to attain this nisbat with Allah, nisbat ma'allah, to attain this noor of nisbat. Three things. One thing is, one task is something which we are not supposed to do. Second thing is that we are supposed to do, but do less of that amal. And third is one action that we are supposed to increase. One action which we are not supposed to do at all. Second, which we are supposed to do, but in a limited quantity. And third, an action which we are supposed to do abundantly. Three things. So the first action which we are not supposed to do at all is that we are not supposed to sin. Ilman wa iradatan. That we are not supposed to sin knowingly and intentionally. This is something we are never supposed to do. We should never do. Yes, if a person sins unknowingly or unintentionally, then that is something which can be easily forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such sins are very easily forgiven. But the real blockage on this path is when a person does sins intentionally and knowingly. Then that becomes an obstacle. Otherwise, there is no obstacle, right? If a person is a man, a woman, wherever they're born, whoever they are, whatever their background, whatever their color, all of them are servants of Allah. All of them have the potential to attain this nisbat with Allah. But the only thing is that our sins, they become an obstacle. Inna Allah tayyibun yakbalu tayyiba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts purity. So unless we remove this impurity of sins from our heart, we will never be able to attain this nur of nisbat with Allah. Sins are an impurity. Sins are a najasat. Sins is filth. When a person sins with their eye, whether it's the sin of the eye, it's the sin of the tongue, it's the sin of our ears, the sin of the heart, all of them are sins, and every sin is filth, najasat, impurity. And with an impurity, it's not possible then one can attain a nisbat with a pure being like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to attain this purity. We have to purify ourselves. Only when we purify ourselves, then can we attain this nisbat. So one of the easiest way, the first point to remember, if we want to attain this nisbat with Allah, we have to look at our sins. We have to see what kind of life we are leading and what sins are we doing in that life. And since our ma'amla, our matter is with Allah Ta'ala, it's not with any human being. Our matter is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is deep inside of our qulub. And this means that we have to purify our heart. We have to purify our feelings. We have to purify our emotions, our thinking. We have to work on purifying not just our zahir, outward and appearance, but even our inner self needs to be pure. If we were dealing with other human beings, then we could have just done some polishing on the top and we could have deceived other people. But here our ma'amla is with alimum bizatis sudur. No one can deceive and delude Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we do any sin, maybe other people may not know, we can hide from them, but we cannot save ourselves from the negative effects of that sin. No one will know, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know. And the effects of that sins will become evident in our life. So first point that we have to remember is that we have to develop this concern, this ihsas in our hearts, that I have to leave every single sin from my life. And I have to leave it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to leave doing sins intentionally. Many times a person, they continue to have intentions of doing sin. We make tawbah, but then we also intend that we will, if we get the opportunity, we will sin again. So if the niyat of sin is there, then that means we haven't made kamil tawbah. It means that we have to actually now take one step backwards. We have to first now work on removing this intention of sin from our heart. Removing sin will come later. First, we need to work on removing this intention of sinning. So we should make this, we should view this in our mind. That I cannot sin. This is the first step on this journey. That as salik, they try to take out intention of sin from their mind. For example, you are sitting here, all of us are sitting, we make an intention that when I end this lecture, after this lecture is over, when I go out, I will not sin with my eyes. I will not look at ghair mahram. I will not look at those people whom I'm not supposed to look at. I make an intention that I will not speak a lie. I will not backbite. I will not slander other people. I make an intention when I end, I will not deceive other people. I will not give bribe. So we have to make this intention in our heart that I will not hurt and harm other people's feelings. We start with this first step, intention of not to sin. And then let's assume that if a person does something contrary, they made a mistake, then immediately we make tawbah. But our problem is that we haven't even made this intention to leave sin. We haven't even made this intention to lead a sin-free life. What is our wish? Our wish is that I can do a few zikr, a few muraqabah, and along with that zikr, muraqabah, ibadah, I will continue to sin the way I'm already sinning. Everything else that I'm doing in my life, that sin, the ghafla on social media, the sins that I'm engaged in, let me continue with all of that. And in this way, somehow I can attain this nisbat with Allah, I can become a wali of Allah. That's our condition. That, you know, what is our condition? Our condition is that Allah, you make us your friend. Yani, we are not looking at the conditions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for us. We are giving our own conditions. That Allah, I want to continue leading this life of ghaflat and sin. But Allah, I want somehow that you make me your wali. Somehow that you give me this nur and isbat. This will not happen. This will not happen. So we have to learn, first step is to remove this intention from our heart of sinning. And we should think about this all the time, that I will not sin intentionally, I will not sin knowingly. And we have to work on this. We have to make intentions in our heart, intentions in our mind. And then after that, when a person begins with intention, then they can start making the effort of leaving sins from their life. And the moment these sins begin to leave, a person can attain this nur in nisbat with Allah. The barakat will open up and a person will be amazed with what they see. Subhanallah, so much nur comes in a person's heart that a person will be amazed that what is this blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has graced me with. The second amal, the second action which we should reduce is that we should reduce the food that we eat. And we should try to practice the sunnah adab in terms of our eating. The sunnah adab is that a person should eat when there is a need. And they should eat to fulfill their need. They should not eat for the mere recreation or entertainment. Because whatever a person eats beyond their need, that goes straight to their nafs. It feeds their nafs, it gives strength to their nafs, and then their nafs makes a person commit sins. Nafs is our enemy. It's an enemy which is more dangerous than shaitan. It's an inner enemy. And why would we want to give fuel to that enemy? And every single time when we eat beyond our requirement, we should think like that, that I'm feeding this enemy. And I am giving the strength to this enemy to do sins against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sunnah adab, and this is again so much hikmat in following sunnat. The Prophet ﷺ gave an adab that eat when you're hungry and then stop eating when you're still slightly hungry. And you have one or two morsel full of hunger that is left. Stop eating at that time. And you're supposed to eat and chew properly so that the food is easily digestible. These are all sunnat adab which we can learn in books of sunnah. But this also has a link with our ruhaniyat, our spirituality. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayh, in one of his books in Ihya Ulumuddin, has mentioned 10 benefits of eating less. And this is one of the hikmat of fasting. You're fast approaching the month of Ramadan. Fasting is prescribed among many other hikmat and many other wisdoms because it brings quwwat to a person's ruh. When a person fasts, it helps that person attain taqwa. So the second point to remember is that in terms of our eating and drinking, we should follow the sunnah adab of eating, which is that we should eat whenever that is necessary. So it doesn't mean that you starve yourself. You eat whenever you feel. You have to eat. Whenever there is requirement for eating, we should not go on the other extreme as well, because many times it happens, and especially in the times that we are living in, that if a person doesn't eat at all or they reduce too much, become excessive about this, that they don't even have the strength to do any ibadah or zikr. And that's the other pitfall, the other deception of shaitan. So whenever there is a weakness or you feel like eat, or you feel there is a need to eat, you should eat. But one should eat to the requirements. They should not overeat, and they should try to maintain some level of hunger. Even if it's one morsel, some level of hunger should be there throughout the day, because that is going to boost their spirituality. And that will ensure that their nafs is not getting that fuel to disobey. The nafs is only getting that fuel which is necessary to do ibadat of Allah. And the third action which we're supposed to increase, which we're supposed to do more, which we're supposed to do abundantly, is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To do abundant zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person does zikr of Allah, then through zikr a person will get itminan in their qalb. Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah alayhi, he has written a whole book where he has mentioned more than 100 benefits of doing zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And truly, the barakat and benefits of zikr of Allah are unlimited. But you will only be able to experience and witness the barakat of zikr when you do zikr regularly. If a person does zikr regularly, consistently, with istiqamat, they select a time that this is my time for zikr, and they stick with that time, and they do that time, they do zikr at that particular time, then in a few days, in a few weeks, they'll be able to feel the benefit of that zikr. There is a joy, there is a mazah, there is a lazzat that a person gets when they do zikr. And the pleasure of doing zikr, this is a pleasure which nothing can compare to this pleasure. None of the worldly pleasures can compare with this pleasure that a person gets when they do zikr. But you will only be able to experience this pleasure, this lazzat of zikr, when you do zikr with the kasrat and when you do zikr regularly. Two conditions. Zikr has to be done consistently. You fix a time and you stick with that time. And it has to be done abundantly. That's why in Quran, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about zikr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also adds this condition. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اُذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Always ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Yani the pleasure of zikr will only happen when a person does zikr kaseer. Today we run after different pleasures of the dunya. The reason is because we haven't experienced the pleasure of zikr. And zikr is that one amal through which a person can get hakiki itminan. The itminan is something which all of us want, which all of us desire. That's what we, all of us are after, to get itminan in our heart. But what we are getting itminan from these chasing, whether it's the movie or social media or other avenues of entertainment or recreation, what that gives us is just fake itminan. It's just an escape from reality. 2 hours, the movie is over. That entertainment is over. That session is over. That talk show is over. That worry, that grief, that sadness comes straight back. And sometimes it comes back in a more ugly fashion. So where does this itminan come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to tell us. Because this itminan ultimately is bestowed by Allah. Itminan-e-Hakiki comes from Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the answer, has the right to tell us that how will a person get this itminan? In very simple few words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up this secret. Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. Then know only and only. This is hasr. That only and only in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hearts find itminan. Real itminan is in zikr, zikr of Allah. So if a person wishes to get this itminan in their life, itminan in their relationships, itminan at their work, itminan with their family, the start is to get itminan in our hearts. And this itminan qalb one person gets when they have zikr of Allah. So there are many barakat of zikr. When a person gets this fana'iyat in zikr, where their heart was doing zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, then such a person, their life is very different from an ordinary person's life. They might be doing things in the dunya outwardly, eating, drinking, talking, working, studying, teaching, but their hearts continuously are joined with Allah Ta'ala. Every moment their hearts have this intimate communication and conversations with Allah. Silent rabata with Allah. It's like a warm wire which is connected with Allah all the time. And then all the while they are remembering Allah in their hearts and they are being remembered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their hearts are being remembered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fazkuruni azkurkum. That you remember me, I Allah Ta'ala will remember you. These are people who become embodiments of this kafiyat. Throughout the day, their hearts are being remembered by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And when Allah remembers their heart, Allah sends His waridat, anwarat, tajalliyat, fiyuzat on their hearts. All words mentioned in the Quran. Their hearts are all continuously receiving this nur, this light, these graces, these blessings, these inayat from Allah. And then as a result of this waridat, there is itminan in that person's heart. You put them wherever you want to put them, whatever situation, whatever circumstance, whatever environment, in their heart there is itminan because their heart is deeply, truly connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their heart is remembering Allah and being remembered by Allah. This is called fana'iyat, to become fana in the zikr of Allah. There is no trace of ghaflat anymore. There is no trace of sin, no trace of heedlessness. They are connected. They become embodiments of this ayat of the Quran, where Allah says, "Rijalun la tulhihim tijaratun wa la bay'un an dhikrillah." That the true people, true servants of Allah, true men are those that none of their dunya, the worldly trade and commerce and business can distract them from the remembrance of Allah. It's not that they start living in a cave or a mountain. There are people engaged in business. They're doing trade. They're doing commerce. But their hearts are fully engaged in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the ni'mat that they have in their batin, a ni'mat which is more precious than any treasures of this world. Because this ni'mat is a ni'mat of nisbat ma'allah, nisbat with Allah. So these are three things that we need to work on if you wish to get this nisbat with Allah. Number one, We have to learn, we have to make this effort of leaving sin, leaving those sins that we're doing intentionally and knowingly. And when a person leaves sin, leaves intentional and knowing sin, sins that we do knowingly, then that individual can attain salamati of the ruh. The ruh becomes peaceful. As long as they're sinning, the ruh will be agitated. We don't know, we don't even diagnose our problems properly. We think the agitation is outside. It's coming from outside, from people. That person did something, they did something, that person, this person. This agitation is not coming from outside. This agitation is coming from inside. And it comes inside because there are sins that we are doing intentionally and knowingly. That person who removes sins from their heart, from their life, then the ruh attains a state of salamati. The ruh attains that state of peaceful tranquility. You can put that person wherever you want. Outside there might be a storm, but inside their heart there is absolute tranquility, serenity, solace. They don't have agitation inside. Sins bring in agitation. Sins is najasat. Everything is tasir. You touch fire, fire, the tasir of fire is that it is hot. You touch snow, snow is cold. In the same way, the tasir of sins is that they bring agitation in a person's heart, in that person's life. And this is not me. Allah says this in Quran. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. That whatever comes to you as a musibah, that is coming because of your own sins, your own actions, your own misdeeds. So it brings fasad and agitation in a person's heart. The Prophet ﷺ said, when a person sins, a black spot comes on their heart. If they make tawbah, it's wiped. Otherwise, it remains there. These spots, if they continue to sin, these spots in their heart, it increases. And ultimately, the heart becomes blackened and darkened and rusted. Allah says in Quran, "Bal kalla bal rana ala kulubi ma kanu yaksib." That a crust has come over their heart because of the amal, the misdeeds that they have done. And yes, when there is darkness and fasad in the heart, that person will be restless, won't have itmanan. So the solution to get a peaceful tranquility in our soul, in our ruh, is to leave sin, to stop doing sins knowingly and intentionally. Then only a person can get itminan and serenity and solace in their hearts. And then when a person, they limit their food, they're eating according to the sunnah, eat when it's necessary, then through that they can attain balance in their jism, a salamati of their jism, their body, their physical body. And that is also important, because we cannot do zikr if physically we're imbalanced. Our ruh is inside, the jism is the car. Like you drive inside, the car is outside. So in the same way, our physical body is the car. The real ruh is inside. But you need to take care of the car as well, for the person to move, for the person to travel, for the person to journey. So the way to ensure that the car is fine, is functioning properly, the way to ensure that our jism is salamat, is salam, is peaceful, is secure, is to control our diet and ensure that we eat according to the sunnah way. We don't overeat, we don't stuff ourselves, but we follow the sunnah adab of eating when it's necessary and eating to the limit that is necessary. And the third thing we mentioned was to do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with kasrat. And that person who does abundant zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can protect and preserve their deen. Their deen becomes salamat and salim. So three things, if we do, will allow us to attain salamati in three things. While leaving sins, we can attain salamati, security, tranquility in terms of our ruh, By eating according to the sunnah, we can attain salamati and balance with regard to our physical body. And by doing abundant zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person can attain salamati and tranquility in their deen. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us that we can act on these teachings and we can make this effort to get this nisbat with Allah. Truly this nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be our aim, should be our goal. And this is where we should assess ourselves. That is your target in the Quran. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. That make yourself like that. لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Take the Prophet as your example. Try to spend your whole life getting as strong a nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the Prophet had. That is the Quranic vision of humanity. That is what really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. That bring me that nisbat that the Prophet had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bring to me that level of taqwa, that level of tahara, that level of zikr, that level of abstaining from sin, that level of ibadat, sabr, shukr. Bring that level to me. So this nisbat, and if we cannot establish this big nisbat directly, then we must try to establish this indirectly. That's what we do in our dunya. If you don't have access to the professor, you go to the TA. If you cannot meet Marx, you go to the Marxist scholar. You must attach yourself with those links that will attach you back to the Prophet ﷺ. That is our deen. You must attach yourself to those links that will attach you back to the Prophet ﷺ. Our deen is not that where you orphan yourself, you isolate yourself, or you try to run a one-man show. No, every single thing in our deen, it comes from sanad, a continuous unbroken chain. You study hadith, you must do so from a line of scholars who must go all the way back to the Prophet ﷺ. You want to follow this path of attaining nisbat with Allah, this path of wilaya, this path of doing zikr, you must do so from a line of people whose path goes all the way back to the Prophet ﷺ. We must connect ourselves with those who connected themselves, who connected them back up to the Prophet ﷺ. Otherwise, you will remain disconnected. And that person who remains disconnected on this earth is not going to be connected on the Day of Judgment. If you're disconnected on this earth, you will be disconnected on that day. And if a person is disconnected on that day, then there is no greater sorrow. Even the word sorrow it doesn't explain what will happen on that day. There's no greater tragedy, depression, misery. That would be absolute, utter loss to be disconnected. People say, my whole life was taken away. On that day, our whole akhirat, whole eternity will be taken away. Imagine that level of sorrow and grief. It's even more terrifying than the hellfire, right? So we need to open our eyes to the reality. May Allah Ta'ala save us all from such a day. May Allah Ta'ala send His Hidayah, open our eyes. And we also need to work now to make ourselves connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connected to the people who can connect us back to Allah. This change will not come automatically. We'll have to work, we'll have to make a decision one day, one moment, and then we'll have to work hard. That's what we do in dunya.
You make a decision to get a master's, then you work hard to get that master's. You have to make a decision to get this nisbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you have to work hard to try to attain your goal. You will have distractions. That's the name of this world. This dunya will try to distract you. But just like when you have a goal in the dunya, you don't get distracted easily. You're also not supposed to get distracted on this path towards Allah. We need to take this plunge. That's what Allah wants us to do. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws us close to Him on this path. I'll just end with the Hadith Qudsi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Hadith Qudsi, it's a beautiful Hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I am with my servant when he draws near to me. And if he comes to me a hand span, I come to him an arm's length. And if he comes to me walking, I come to him running. فَإِنْ أَتَانِي يَمْشِي فَآتَيْتُ حَرْبَلَ I come to him running. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is offering to us. That if you walk, I will run. If you come to me a hand span, I will come to an arm's length. Whatever you do to come to me, I will reciprocate. And I will reciprocate much more than what you are doing for me. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is offering this to us, then we should, our reaction, our response should be that, Ya Allah, I want to run towards you. Fafirru ilallah. I want to do firar towards you. Flee towards you. And when you flee towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imagine how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to you. You will be overwhelmed. That human being towards whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala runs, that person's life is totally different. There'll be barakah in that person's life. There'll be itminan in that person's life. There'll be sukoon and halawat in that person's life. It'll be an incredible life. You'll be embraced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will belong where you truly belong. There's no other pleasure which can even match it. There's no other experience which can even touch it. You will laugh back and you will laugh at the pleasures that you had in this dunya. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum ya'adhanun. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the ability, the tawfiq, that we can renounce our sins. We can leave this path of sins and ghafla. May Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we can join into this deen of Islam completely and absolutely, and we can drown ourselves. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His rahmah and mercy, accept us to get this nisbat ma'allah. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Before we make dua, we'll make a short silent zikr of the heart for a few moments. Close your eyes and bow your head. Disconnect yourself from everything else in this world. And make intention that, Ya Allah, You have said in Quran, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ that if You remember me, I will remember You. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are remembering You deep inside of our hearts. And we ask that You remember us by showering Your rahmah, Your mercy, Your blessings upon our heart, by purifying my heart of its filth, of its sins, of its hardness, by removing ghafla and heedlessness from my heart. And Ya Allah, You're pouring and putting Your muhabbah and love into my heart, and my heart in gratitude and shukr is calling upon Your Ism-e-Azam, Ism-e-Jalala, Allah, as if my heart is secretly, silently saying, Allah, 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 and I'm listening to the silent zikr of my heart.
La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah make dua. Subhan rabbil alwahhab Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا الله يا رب كريم ظلمنا أنفسنا Allah we have wronged ourselves Allah we have oppressed ourselves يا رب كريم we have allowed ourselves to become distant from you يا رب كريم we have allowed ourselves to become heedless of you يا رب كريم we have soiled our heart with sins Allah we have been sinning intentionally and deliberately Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we come to you tonight after having recognized and admitting all our mistakes and sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we come to you tonight in Tawbah. Allah, we ask you that you accept our Tawbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, if you don't forgive us, Allah, if you don't shower us with your Rahmah and your mercy, Allah, lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Allah, will be amongst the lost ones. Allah will be in a state of utter and absolute and complete loss. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, save us from that khusran. Allah, save us from that loss. Ya Rabbi Kareem, shower us with your maghfirah once again. Allah, shower us with your qubuliyah once again. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept our tawbah once again. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to grant us the true nadamat over our sins, to have true remorse and regret over our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you that you grant us the ability to leave all the sins that we are engaged in. Allah, grant us the ability to leave all the ghaflat that we are engaged in. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we make intention. Ya Rabbi, we want to make an intention not to ever sin against you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you that you grant us istiqamah in our intention. Allah, we ask you that you grant us firmness in this intention. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are truly sick and tired of leading this life of sin. Allah, we are truly sick and tired of disobeying you. We are truly sick and tired of displeasing you. We are truly sick and tired of going against you and your wishes. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are sick and tired of leading this life of ghafla. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we are sick and tired of being overpowered by our nafs and shaitan. Allah, we take one step towards you, but the nafs and shaitan take us many steps away from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we are sick and tired of leading this life, Ya Allah. Leading such as this kind of a life, which is empty of you, which is distant from you, which is empty of emotions of love for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we present to you our life. Allah, we present to you our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we know that we have blackened our hearts. We know that we have darkened our hearts. Allah, we know that we have hardened our hearts. But Ya Allah, we also know that you are Muqallibul Qulub. Allah, you are the changer of hearts. You are the tabib of the hearts. You are the muzakki of the hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, you are the healer of the hearts. Allah, you are the changer of the hearts. Allah, you are the purifier of the hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we present our fragile hearts to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, no matter how blackened they are, Allah, we have iman in these hearts. Allah, these hearts have iman in you. These hearts have muhabbat for you. These hearts have a desire for you. These hearts have some longing for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you, Allah, that you accept these hearts. Allah, we ask you that you accept these hearts for the renewal of iman, for the revival of iman. Allah, we ask you that you accept these hearts and you wash away the filth from this heart. Allah, that you wash away the ghaflat from this heart. Allah, that you wash away all the impurities from this heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, wash away all the impurities from our eyes, all the impurities from our tongue, all the impurities from our ears, all the impurities from any part of our limb. Allah, wash away all the impurities from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, accept us for the revival, for the renewal of Tawbah in our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us amongst the Tawabin. Allah, your beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told us that At-ta'ibu min al-dhambi kamalla dhamba lahu, that a person who makes true Tawbah is like that person who has never ever sinned in his life. Allah, we don't know how to make true Tawbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to grant us tawfiq to make such a true Tawbah, such a true Tawbah where all our sins are forgiven.
Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we make dua to you. Allah, we ask you that you grant us such a tawfiq to be able to make such a tawbah. Allah, grant us tawfiq to make tawbatun nasu, to have istiqamatun such a tawbah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, out of your rahmah, Allah, when we look at you, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you that you can, out of your rahmah, convert our misdeeds into good deeds. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us amongst the tawabin, amongst the muhsineen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us for this path of zikr. Allah, accept us for this path, to be on this path of zikr. Remove all the ghafla from our hearts. Allah, remove our names from the list of the ghafileen. Allah, write our names among the list of the zakireen. Allah, grant us tawfiq to be able to do your abundant zikr. Allah, to make us such that we are all the time thinking about you. All the time we are remembering you inside of our hearts. Allah, nothing is difficult for you. Allah, it's difficult for us. Allah, but it's easy for you. Allah, all you have to do, Allah, is to make irada khair for us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask that you accept this dua from all of us, this intention from all of us. Grant all of us that himmat to do such amal that are pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us kubuliyat on this path of zikr. Allah, accept us on this path of zikr. Allah, don't deprive us because of our sins. Allah, we know that our amal are not worthy. Allah, we know that because of our sins we have deprived our own selves. We have lost our kubuliyah. But Ya Rabbi Kareem, we come to you tonight in tawbah. Allah, we ask you that you forgive our sins and forgive all the effects of sins. Whatever distance that has come between us and you because of our sins, Allah, remove that distance as well. Allah, whatever darkness has come in our hearts because of our sins, remove that darkness. Allah, whatever weakness has come in our iman because of sins, remove that weakness. Ya Rabbi Kareem, okay, whatever musibah and parishani that has come in our life because of our sins, Allah, remove that musibat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, accept us for the revival of iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us kamil iman. Allah, grant us a safety from all sins. Allah, save us, Ya Allah, from the gatherings of sin. Save us, Allah, from people of sin. Save us, Allah, from the sohbat of sin. Save us, Allah, from things that remind us of sin. Save us, Allah, from the gadgets that lead us towards sin. Save us, Allah, from those technologies that lead us towards sin. Allah, we are living in a time of fitna. Allah, fitnas are increasing day by day. Allah, we ask you that you safeguard our iman. Allah, we ask you that you safeguard our taqwa. Allah, we ask you that you safeguard our zikr, our ibadat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are living in difficult times. Allah, we ask you for help and assistance. Every weak turn towards the strong. Allah, we are the weakest of the weak of this ummah. Allah, we ask you for help. Ya Rabbi Kareem, preserve our iman, the iman of our loved ones. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept this dua from all of us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, save us, Ya Allah, from losing this iman, from losing our relationship with you, from losing our path. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us sharah sadr in our iman. Accept us, Ya Allah, for having kamil iman, for completing and perfecting our iman, for strengthening our iman. Grant us, Ya Allah, sharah sadr. Allah, grant us, Ya Allah, Yakine Kamil. Allah, make our iman kamil. Make our iman mukammal. Grant us certainty. Ilmul yakin. Ainul yakin. Haqqul yakin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us itmanane kalb. Allah, remove all the emptiness from our hearts. Remove that blackness, that void from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you that you come inside of our hearts and you remove all the ghair that is within us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, for long we have enslaved. Allah, we have been living a life where we are giving in to the desires of our nafs. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, we make tawbah of being abdul nafs. Allah, we ask that you make us truly abdullah. Allah, save us from the deception of nafs. Allah, save us from this nafs-e ammara. Allah, do tazkiyah of this nafs and make this nafs-e mutma'inna. Save us, Allah, from the deceptions of shaitan. Save us, Ya Allah, from the attractions of this dunya, from the delusions of this dunya. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, accept this dua from all of us. us, Rabbi Kareem, you have said in Quran, Fa'inni Qareeb, Allah, yet you're near and Qareeb to us. Allah, we also want to live a life in that Qurb, to feel that Qurb, to feel that presence, to feel that nearness, to live our entire day and night, to be able to feel that closeness with you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you, Allah, that you draw us close to yourself, include our names also amongst the Muqarrabeen. Allah, put us on this path to attain your Qurb. Accept us, Allah, on this path of Muhabba, Mahbubiya, Muqarrab, to be amongst your Muqarrib. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us for a life of Deen. Allah, accept us for a life of Deen. Accept us for the khidmat of Deen in a way that is pleasing to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept whatever pious intentions any one of us have in our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, you are the knower of our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to accept all our pious intentions. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi khayr khalqihi muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arham